Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. I love being able to not only to read great books, but then to have the opportunity to share them with our listeners, as well as to have conversations with the author, and I get a chance to be able to do that today. I'm excited to welcome to our program today Elizabeth LeBand. She's the author of the book that I said last year was one of the books you definitely had to read this year, and I think after this conversation, you'll understand why. The book is called The Restaurant Critic's Wife. We're going to talk to Elizabeth not only about the journey of creating the main character, Lila, but what it was like for her to be able to slip into her skin, to be able to live life as Lila was able to live it, and to be faced with the choices that Lila had to go through, as I think many of us have to do in our own lives as well. If you're just now hearing about the book, or Elizabeth will tell you a little bit later how you can stay connected with Elizabeth, as well as get the book for yourself. But Elizabeth, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Cyrus. Thank you so much for having me on this morning.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. I was really excited about the opportunity to be able to speak with you, Elizabeth, because this book, I think, is not only entertaining, but I think, unfortunately, it's the truth that so many people are having to deal with in their lives, and that is, you know, what do you do when things are not going the way that you plan? Do you just go with the flow, or do you make changes? You know, how do you kind of deal with that? And thanks to you and the character Lila, we're able to address that, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but what has it been like for you, Elizabeth, as a storyteller, to be able to do what you love, and then to have people not only enjoy it, but also really think about the characters and situations you've created?
Well, thank you so much for saying all of those nice things about the book. For me, it's been wonderful. This is what I've always wanted to do, to write fiction. And a funny story, actually, you know, the Powerball was crazy big last night, and we did buy two tickets, and my son said to me, asked me and my husband, okay, if we win, would you still keep working? And we both said yes. So I thought that was good because we didn't win. And also, I thought it said a lot about what we both do and what we both like to do. So no matter what, even if I didn't have to do this, I would want to try to do this. And every time I start with a new book, it's a new journey. I'm creating people. And a lot of times the people appear to me before the actual story, which sometimes makes it even more challenging. And that was certainly the case with The Restaurant Critic's Wife. And we can talk more about that if you want to.
Sure.
But for me, you know, writing and telling stories and creating a world is what I love to do. So if I'm able to do it and get people interested in, you know, joining that world for a little bit of their time, it's really a dream come true.
Yeah, and I think because of what you just said, Elizabeth, because you do it from such a genuine place, I think that's why, you know, we are able to enjoy it, because it doesn't feel as though you're just doing something to meet a deadline or doing something,
well,
you know,
thank you.
For a paycheck. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, as I was going through this book, and I read it twice, I read it for one thing,
oh,
you know, for enjoyment. But
thank
then because
you.
I knew I was going to be speaking with you, I went back through it last week, and I said to myself, wow, you know, what a thing to be able to write a book that is fiction, as you said, but that
right.
is the truth for a lot of people who are going through not only Lila's journey, but the people around Lila who are dealing with life's challenges. But I also thought
right.
there was an interesting lesson that I didn't pick up on the first time I read the book, but I did notice the second time, and that was what we can learn from children. There is the incident, as you know, in the book where, you know, Lila's child has a little incident with one of her little playmates, you know, and
right.
I think, you know, the whole thing is you dust yourself off and you keep going. And one of the
right.
things that Lila says in her voice is, if only we dealt with problems so easily. What was it like for you to teach lessons like that or share lessons like that through these characters?
Oh, well, so, you know, partly Lila's journey was really, I really wanted to make sure her journey was different from my journey. I wanted her to be somebody different from me because in real life, I really am married to a restaurant critic. We do live in Philadelphia. We do have two kids. So on the surface, it looks very similar. But Lila's journey is very different. She is a corporate person who works for a big hotel and resort chain that's international, and she loves it. And she spends most of her time before she meets her husband to be, she spends a lot of time traveling. She's almost never home. Home is something she doesn't really think about. And then without meaning to, she falls in love and becomes pregnant and gets married, and then suddenly finds herself in a new city where her husband is asking her not to work because he is the new restaurant critic. He doesn't want anybody to know who he is. And Lila's job gets her into the news a lot. So she is, you know, very visible when she does what she does. So she finds herself in this crazy new place, not at all where she planned. At the base of it is the fact that she fell in love with this man. So at least, you know, there's that. But it's not at all what she planned, and she keeps thinking to herself, how did this happen? So, yeah, with the kids, when Hazel, the three-year-old, you know, fights with her friend Russell, and then they sort of brush it off and get back together, I think Lila wishes that adult life could be that simple. But it's not, because it involves so much more: work, job, taking care of kids, and choices. So she really goes on a journey.
Hello, Elizabeth, are you there? Hello, Elizabeth, can you hear us? Hello, Elizabeth, are you there? We seem to have lost our connection with Elizabeth there. One of the things that can happen sometimes, of course, with the live conversation, so we definitely would try to get that fixed with Elizabeth to try to bring her back in. For those who are just tuning in, though, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking today with Elizabeth Laban. We're talking with her not only about her journey as a storyteller, but what it's been like for her to do what she loves and, of course, to be able to share that with the world. Her newest book is called The Restaurant Critic's Wife. We're going to be talking more to Elizabeth about that. We're going to try to see if we have Elizabeth back. Elizabeth, can you hear us?
I can completely hear you.
Now I can hear you too. Okay.
Oh, good. I wonder what happened. I'm sorry about that.
No. Hey, not a problem. Anything can happen these days with technology, so don't worry about that. But I'm sorry. You were the last thing, unfortunately, that I heard, though, was, you know, you were saying how Lila wished that, you know, adult situations could be solved as easily as with children. That was the last thing that we heard.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I was saying that she wishes that, but in reality, it's not the case. Because, you know, there's so many consequences that come along with adult choices and, you know, whether you're going to work or not work and family life. So, you know, she wishes that it could be so simple. And she definitely does learn from watching her kids without question. But she also realizes that it's a bit more complicated as she moves forward.
Right. And I think that is it. You know, there is an interesting thing, though, that happens. And I'm so glad that you allow us to know part of the backstory of how Sam and Lila got to where they are. Because I think, you know, for a lot of times, as, you know, as she's asking herself, how did this happen? When we're able to replay things, I think a lot of times, unfortunately, one or two things happens. I know for myself it is. Either we think we can change things, and that, you know what, this is just, it's not as big as it seems. It's not such a big deal. You know, or we get to a place where we just feel as though, you know, this is the best it's going to get. I'm just going to settle for whatever I have. And I think what's so interesting, and I want to actually read something, because this is another thing I picked up on the second time around that I did not pick on before. Here was Sam being this individual who, you know, as you said and as we learn in the book, you know, is not wanting to be known and is not wanting to be really, at the end of the day, who he is. This is what he says about a dish that he's reviewing. In chapter 6 of the book, for those who have the print edition, it's on page 121, and he's describing this dish, and this is what he says. The hot bowl has an imposter oozing inside its fondue pot. The cheese was supposed to be from Switzerland and France, but I detected some good old American cheddar. I was right. The chef confessed that they add some for body, but don't feel they need to claim it. Can't anybody step up to the plate these days and take responsibility for the integrity of their ingredients? Why is everyone always trying to be something other than what they are? And I read that the second time, and I thought, well, if that's not the pot calling the kettle black.
I mean, it's true.
So, take us into Sam's, you know, part of this. Even though it is in Lila's voice, Sam does tell us a lot about himself and his own conundrum when he's talking about what he loves, and that is food.
Well, so what a great question and what a great connection, because it's true. I mean, he's telling these people, step up, say what's there. At the beginning of the book, a chef claims that the sauce is homemade, their tomato sauce, and Sam goes into the dumpster to find the actual cans to prove that he's wrong. So Sam is, you know, saying, step up, say what's real. But Sam would argue, I think, that he's doing exactly that. His job as a restaurant critic is to go into restaurants, you know, the way any of us would, the way anybody would, somebody who's not known, somebody who's not going to get special treatment, and, you know, might be spending, you know, their holiday bonus to take their girlfriend or wife out for an anniversary dinner. You know, it could be a very important meal, and is this the place they want to spend their money? Or, you know, it doesn't even have to be that expensive or that important, but Sam feels that he's there for the consumer. He's there for the person who's going to choose to spend his or her hard-earned money and a special night at a restaurant. And in order to do that, Sam feels he has to be unknown, because he's going to get special treatment if they know he's there. If they know a restaurant critic is there, the service will be better, the table will be better. I mean, my husband, who is a restaurant critic, will always argue the food is what it is. I mean, they can't go buy new food. They can make it again or three or four times if they know a critic is there. Whether they're going to do that or not, I don't know. But so I think, even though I hear what you're saying, and Sam, you know, why doesn't he step up and say he's there? But I know in his heart he believes that would make his job harder and not as accurate, because he would be giving the experience of the restaurant critic instead of just the everyday diner, and that's who he's writing for. So that's such a great question. But Sam is so serious about that, and that's how I think he would answer you if you asked him that question.
And you know what is so interesting about that, and I thought about that, Elizabeth, is that he's able to be that astute professionally, but personally, with the individuals that should matter more than anything, because of what he's created with his family, now that he's, you know, supposedly devoted himself to his family, that is not what he's allowing, you know, his wife to be, and you know, and then of course the family to be. And I think that is again why this book speaks so much to us, because we can easily say for ourselves, well, this is why I do this, but we don't understand, even as they're sitting there, that, you know, later on in the book, I won't talk too much about that, but where he's saying to her, almost chastising her, you know, and like he has nothing to do with what's happening, you know, around him. And so, I mean, it is so interesting, because, again, I mean, it's fiction, but that is what makes it, I think, easy for us to swallow, pardon the pun, because it is something that I think all of us do. We all do this, where we expect, you know, one part of our lives to be, you know, this great thing, and for us to bring our best, and the rest of it kind of falls apart. And unfortunately, the things that sometimes fall apart, and I think this is one of the big lessons for me in the book, are not things, they're people.
Right.
You know, and so so what was that like for you to take Lila to a place where she really felt as though she did not even know where she belonged, that anything actually mattered?
Yeah, and I think that people often find themselves in that situation not expecting to, for whatever reason. So for Lila, that was really a big part of you know, giving the book momentum and giving her story momentum, to sort of exaggerate the way that marriage is. I mean, it's all about compromise or relationships, whether it's marriage or a relationship or sometimes a friendship. It's all about compromise. And is it always equal on both sides? I mean, are both people fighting for something? Yes. And you know, I think it's the goal and hard to reach that point where people feel that they're getting equal, whatever it is, play or you know, someone's listening to them in a relationship. So that's Lila's struggle. The problem is they're new to the city. So Sam feels that it's his only chance to have this. He's as focused in that moment and in that year that they're, you know, that we're with them in the book, as he's ever going to be. And Lila is, you know, floundering in a way, probably more hopefully than she might ever again, because she's new. She's having a hard time making friends because of Sam's crazy rules. But I have to say, there are moments when Sam does soften. I mean, when he's working, he's focused and he's barely there. But the minute he's done, he sort of comes back. And when it doesn't have to do with restaurants, he's great. He's lovely with the kids. And he does care about Lila. Lila, you know, we're in her head, so I think we root for her, and I want it to be that way. But she's
right.
tough. I mean, she drives him crazy. So so I think it's going both ways. And that's sort of their journey. They want to be together, and how do they do that? How do they give each other what they need to be able to maintain that?
Exactly. And I think that's it. And I think it's at that point when we get there, Elizabeth, whatever that thing may be. I mean, for some it may be, you know, a relationship choice. For some it may be a work choice or a location choice because
right.
of moving. We look at it and say, "No, why did I do that?"
Yeah.
How did I end up here? I mean, was this really what I was supposed to do? And I think that's the other thing. I think for myself, I thought, you know, this is why it's so important that we know what we're getting into. You know, and especially in situations that could be life-changing, because that's really what it became. For Lila, I mean, it changed everything. And I think if we're honest, and that's another thing I think, you know, we can credit Sam for talking about, I guess, is that if you're honest with yourself, then you can answer those questions, you know, right. more openly. But, you know, I will say this, and I don't think this is spoiling anything for anybody, Elizabeth. I asked the question of myself, if Lila knew what it was going to be like, would she have married him? And I said no.
Yeah. See, I don't want to give away anything else too, but I would argue that you think she would say that even at the end of the book? You think she would say no?
I mean, no. I'm speaking. I'm bringing Cyrus into it too. I would say
and it's hard
that.
Not to, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, I would say no. I think because, you know, who knows. You know, and I guess this is the thing for me. And again, my audience is probably wondering, okay, now I have to get this book to figure out what they're talking about. But I think we never know what the end might be. And unfortunately, not all of us will have the Lila ending.
Right.
You know,
it's impossible to know. And I think it could be paralyzing to try to know. And maybe then you'd never move forward with a relationship or commit to somebody.
I think
a lot of it is luck. I mean, it's crazy. You make a choice, you meet somebody, whatever it is, you try, you know, if you fall in love with someone, you think it's always going to be great. And of course, you have to know that there are going to be hard times and complicated decisions. But I think there's no way to know. I think a lot of it is you know, you make an educated guess, really, and then a lot of it is luck, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that about my own marriage. I'm very happily married. I don't take that for granted for a second, but could I really have known, you know, 18 years ago where we would be today? No way. There's no way I could have known.
Right.
So I think I did jump in with 2 feet probably and didn't realize all the crazy things that could happen, but luckily, so far, so good.
Right, exactly. And I think that is the thing. Elizabeth, this is your first time on our program, so I have to ask you this. Do you go into a book thinking that you're going to begin and end with those stories and that's going to be it? Or do you have some thoughts sometime if you actually told everything about those characters that you wanted to tell?
Oh, that's such an interesting question. You mean once the book is finished, do I wish I had said something different?
Exactly.
Not so much with this book. You know, this book was in the works for years and went through so many different – I mean, in a way it was a luxury and in a way it was heartbreaking when it didn't work out, you know, sooner. But now that I can see the bigger picture, I'm very, very happy. But this book went through many different drafts. It was always the same people but different storylines, some very – strong and different storylines that are not in this finished book. And I think it made me get to know the characters better, but I think it's a better book because of that. So, so far, I have not found something in this book I wish I could change. I have a young adult novel out, and I've long said there's one thing now I wish I could have changed with that book, just one paragraph, and that I wouldn't have known until I saw the bigger picture. So far I haven't had that feeling with this book. it might still come, as you know, we talk. Even you have brought up some ideas that I love to talk about that I haven't really thought about. So that moment might come, but right now, I think I've told their story the way I wanted to.
Yeah. I was having a conversation recently with an author who was on this program, Elizabeth, and she was saying that, you know, her journey was a long road, and yes. It wasn't until her 10th book that she actually felt like that she could truly call herself an author. What about you? I mean, with this your third book, I mean, does it feel more real to you now that you are an author that has work available for the world to read?
I mean, I do feel that way. I mean, and I don't take that for granted for a second. This has been, I mean, a crazy hard journey, and it's just been my dream since I was in fourth grade. So to do it is amazing. It's interesting because each of my books have been a different genre. So the Grandparents Handbook is nonfiction, and then the Tragedy Paper is young adult, and this is women's fiction. So it's sort of interesting. It's almost like three different experiences, but now that it's all together and I can say I have three published books, I feel very excited and proud of that. And I think of myself at this point as an author. That's what I write down just now if I have to write down occupation. It took me a long time. I used to just write writer or freelance writer, and I'll write author.
Yeah, well, what a great thing, as you should. It's a great book, and I think that men and women will both appreciate it. Again, everyone, Elizabeth LeBand has been our guest for this segment. We've been discussing her book, The Restaurant Critic's Wife. It's available now for you all to be able to get however you buy your books, or you can visit your favorite bookstore. If they don't have it, they'll be glad to order it for you. Elizabeth, one more question for you, and then we're going to let our audience know how they can stay connected with you. Yeah, I'm sure it's already happening that other people who have a goal or dream of getting something published have contacted you or reached out to you and said, what advice do you have? I think that's one of those common questions that we do ask. You know, is it at this point that you really just tell them they have to do it?
Well, so my advice, and I still tell myself this, is to really, truly never give up. I mean, so this book was in the works for a decade, and that doesn't mean that someone, for different reasons, and I put it to the side, but that doesn't mean that someone who wants to write a novel has to be in for a long haul of a decade. I mean, in that time, my other two books were published, but I could have given up on this book, and I'm so glad I didn't. My agent encouraged me all the way through. So it could take a year, it could take 10 years, it could take 20 years, but if somebody wants to write something and believes in it, just to never give up. I mean, sometimes maybe put it to the side for a minute and you know, work on another book if they can, but even with rejections and many rejections from an agent or a publisher, you just have to find one person who believes in it and loves it. And so I would just say, you know, do it, and also don't give up. And when you're doing it at the beginning, when you're writing that first draft, don't edit it too much. Get it down and then go back and do it. You know, there's plenty of time for that, because you can get really paralyzed, you know, stopping and thinking about every sentence. I recommend not doing that. Just get it down, and then you can go back and fix anything.
Here we go. And you're hearing it from someone who definitely knows firsthand. Again, everyone, Elizabeth LeBand has been our guest. Elizabeth, really enjoyed having you on the program today. How can our audience stay connected with you and keep up what's coming up next for you?
So I'm working on another women's fiction book that I hope will be ready to show my editor very soon. And then, you know, it's a waiting game, just hoping that she'll like it. I'm also working on another young adult book that's really, you know, sort of ready to put out there. And then there's a lot of waiting. And I'm on Twitter at Elizabeth LeBand, and I'm on Facebook. I have an author page, Elizabeth LeBand, and I have a website, ElizabethLeBand.com. And I'm so happy to hear from people on Facebook and Twitter if anybody has a question or wants to say hello.
All right, so make sure you all are staying connected with Elizabeth, and she definitely does respond because that's how she and I have been communicating. So definitely invite you all to do that. Elizabeth, again, congratulations to you on The Restaurant Critic's Wife.
Thank you.
Looking forward to our next conversation together.
Oh, thank you. This has been a pleasure. I would love to talk to you anytime. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for that. And we thank you, our audience, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. For our radio audience, you all stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come for you all at the bottom of the hour. I'll be speaking with recording artist Jay LaVita for you guys, so you all have that to be able to look forward to, his first appearance on our program as well. For those joining us online, though, that's going to do it for us for this segment. So if you came in late and you missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media friends. So head over to facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on the link there. You can listen to the show completely for free anytime and even share it with your friends using the social media buttons you'll find on the left-hand side of your screen. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.